Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dude. It's now been about 8 weeks since I'd say longer than that, 10 weeks since I ordered your damn birthday present. And
still
I finally,
hasn't come, huh?
Dude, no, I finally put my foot down.
Okay. What does that mean?
I canceled it.
You did?
Yes. And now I'm waiting for something else to arrive. But I canceled it.
Am I going to need my bicycle pump?
No, this would serve the same purpose as a bicycle pump, dude.
Thank it's God.
Arriving for you.
Good.
So I'm sorry, and it's coming.
Maybe we'll be here in time for next year, dude.
Maybe. Yeah. So that's my big news, dude. What's going on with you?
Not much, dude. I'm watching a little bit more. Been watching a little bit more of sort of the same old Sharks. Last week, you know, the Sharks won a bunch in a row. They beat the Rangers, and you said, "Hey, they're gonna lose to Florida,"
and they did. Yeah, and they did.
One of the worst teams in the league, and then
because we knew that they would have their eye on that Anaheim game, dude, which they won. They won.
It was the best game of the year. Was it the best game of the year?
It was pretty darn entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard. I mean, you'd have to really take a good look at. I personally enjoy games like the 7-3 win over the Flyers. But yeah, that 3-2 game was good, especially them having to come from behind and win that game. Such an important game. Yeah.
It was.
Good times.
It was, and the Sharks, did they tie the Pacific Division lead with that win, or did they go ahead?
I think they went ahead.
They went ahead.
They went ahead, and from there, they've gotten points in their last three games. They lost in the shootout to Washington, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Then they go on the road, and they lose one in Calgary.
Yeah.
And then last night, they lay the paddle on the Oilers after what really was a pretty rough start. That first period was not easy to watch. But I'll tell you what, I'm feeling a little tired today from some workouts I've had the last couple days. I don't think I feel as bad as Adam Burrish does.
Oh.
Did you see the Frankenstein fingers that had going on there?
Oh.
He blocked that shot, and his finger was going all kinds of wrong ways. And it looks like reports are that he's out at least 3 to 5 weeks. He had a surgery today, or a procedure,
mm-hmm.
surgery on, I'm sure, what was setting a finger that was bending the wrong way, dude. Oh, dude, that's not good.
No,
that's
especially if you
want
to hold a hockey stick.
Yeah. I laughed yesterday when I instant messaged you Sharks, and you wrote back lowercase Sharks, you know, which usually means that you're feeling kind of bad about the Sharks after their Calgary loss.
Yeah, a little.
I said, dude, we're leading the Pacific, dude. We are 2 points off the President's Trophy, dude. Capital Sharks, dude.
If only they could beat the Capitals.
Dude.
I know.
Capital Sharks,
it's
dude.
Just, at this time of year, the fact that the Sharks have been looking up at the Ducks the entire season, the fact that they drop 2 points in the last two games against very beatable teams. As you said on the podcast last week, the Sharks team has ownage of the Capitals at home in recent history, including some major beatdowns in recent matchups, and they cannot beat the Capitals at home. Then they go on the road and lose to a team that has absolutely nothing to play for. A team that actually hasn't been playing that bad as of late. I think they're like 6-4, 6-4, 7-3 in their last 10.
And they've been scoring goals.
Well, that's because they've been playing the frigging Oilers. They threw, you know, which is a pretty funny situation that happened there. People were throwing their Oilers jerseys onto the ice after Calgary, the second worst team in the West, beat the tar out of the Oilers, the worst team in the West, and fans had enough. And the fact that the Sharks could not score more than one regulation goal against Calgary. Carrarama had some good saves. I give him credit, but that's a team that needs to be beaten this time of year. And the fact that the Sharks can't beat them is disappointing. At least, like we said last week, the Sharks have a relatively easy schedule from here on out.
Well, you know, I was looking at the schedule, and compared to Anaheim's, ours is considerably more difficult, unfortunately. When you look at the Ducks have 11 games left and 3 versus playoff teams. Let's look at the Sharks' games left here, okay? So we got Winnipeg, not a playoff team. Colorado, yes. Mm-hmm. Edmonton, no. LA, yes. Nashville, no. All right, so now we're 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this run here. Anaheim, yes. Colorado, yes. Phoenix, yes. Vancouver, no. Oh, wait, no, what am I looking at? I'm looking at the preseason.
Yeah.
So we just finished it out.
Right.
So Phoenix, Colorado, Anaheim, LA, so 5 out of the last 8. And for the Ducks, 3 out of the last 11.
Mm-hmm.
So the ball, unfortunately, is kind of in the Ducks' court here, with since they have 2 games in hand on us.
That's true.
If they take care of business...
Just 2? I thought they had more.
I think they just have 2. Or they have 3?
They have 3 games
in hand. Ooh, yikes. So we're 4 points up. They've got to take care of their own business and win some games, and then they could pass us, dude. But it's not like the Ducks have been playing well. They're 4-4-2 in their last 10. So I don't necessarily have a ton of confidence that Anaheim is going to be able to figure it out and beat teams that we've struggled with. I mean, they did whoop Florida when we lost to Florida, but they could lose to Calgary just like we have been and struggle against a team like Winnipeg. But I think the Sharks, they have to keep working hard. And the injuries, unfortunately, are kind of piling up on San Jose right now.
That's right. Logan Couture missed the last game, took a block shot,
which they say is not a serious concern, but anytime someone misses a game,
right,
I get concerned, especially Logan Couture, who's had some injury issues this year. Rafi Torres, dude.
Still out. Ugh.
That's... Adam Burrish, Frankenfingers.
Yeah, Frankenfingers.
Out. Matt Irwin should be sitting out based on his play recently. He did not play last night. They did play Scott Hannon in the Edmonton game. How do you handle that situation right now, dude? With Brad Stewart back, playing sort of his regular minutes, you know, where do you go for these last 8 games? I mean, do you go with the guy who has more upside, definitely more potential to be an offensive threat in Irwin, but then you also know the last year's Demers factor is in play, that he has the ability to make some really bad decisions?
At this point, this tight, I think you have to play a defenseman that's going to keep you in games and not give games away or give goals away.
So Rob Davison.
Bring
him up.
Precisely. Rob Davison. He can score on Niemi. He can score on Vesitoskola from 177 feet.
I agree. I think you got to play Hannon at this point.
And if Hannon starts playing poorly, then you swap him out and you put Irwin back in. But I understand this, you know, he's not actually a spring chicken. There was an interview with Matt Irwin on a random blog that I can't even remember which one it was. It might have been Backhand Shelf. But, you know, one thing that's brought to your attention, he's the same age as Marc-Edouard Vlasic, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Marc-Edouard Vlasic's played 600 NHL games and Matt Irwin's played 60 or something like that. So he's not the youngest guy on the team, and you would like him to be defensively responsible, especially late in the year with the team jockeying for a playoff position. So I think the time to baby Matt Irwin and to give him a pat on the head and say, you're still doing good, kid. I think that time is past at this time of year. And if you need more offensive pop and you can't score in the playoffs and you're willing to risk a few more giveaways, then you put Matt Irwin back in. But right now, I think it's about preventing goals. That's what I think.
I agree. You know, with some big games coming up here, you know, the Sharks at home tomorrow night against Winnipeg, a game they need to win. Winnipeg has kind of fallen off the map. They had that nice little run. They've come back to earth. Paul Maurice is not the second coming anymore.
Shocking.
And they've fallen out of it. The Sharks need to win that game and just the odds of LA catching whoever the second seed is are very slim at this point. LA would have to go on a massive run, and the Sharks would have to go completely in the dumper to fall to the third. But still, that difference between being first and second is huge, because you're avoiding a matchup with LA in the first round, and instead you're getting a Minnesota or a Phoenix, which, you know, no one's going to be a walk in the park, but there's definitely a difference between playing one or the other. I watched some of Minnesota the other day, and I wasn't that impressed. Like, I think they've got some dangerous weapons, but I don't think their goaltending is in a good shape. Brisgolf didn't look very good to me, and I don't think their D's that good outside of Ryan Suter. You know, I think they're vulnerable to giving up some big plays if you can stop some of their big guns. And they've got some big guns: Molson, Pominville, Koivu, Parise, Charlie Coyle. You know, they can score, but but they'll give it up too, you know. So that's a pretty big difference. Win the Pacific. Win it.
It should be mentioned, though, that the Sharks have scored almost 30 more goals this season than Minnesota. So it's not like Minnesota's leading the league in goals. Minnesota have scored fewer goals than LA.
Right.
So I wouldn't say that they're exactly offensive dynamos, but you're right. They do have weapons. And if you leave those guys alone, they'll find a way to hurt you.
Mm-hmm. And they're not playing great either. I mean, they're slowly kind of playing their way out of a playoff spot. I mean, or playing their way down to the bottom spot. And they're still 6 points over Dallas, which is fading fast here. But if Phoenix is playing pretty well, seven games out of their last 10 with points, I mean, they're only three behind Minnesota. They could pass them and get the seven, and then you're playing Phoenix in the first round. Yes, please. I mean, yes, please.
Absolutely.
I mean, like, I would way rather see that than see LA. So Sharks, just keep on winning, baby. I have a question for you about Joe Pavelski, dude, who we see have another hat trick last night. His third of the season. Tied for second in the NHL with goals.
Right.
With 37.
Yep.
And it's a pretty elite company with someone like Corey Perry.
Overpaid, absolutely.
Is it time to officially say that Joe Pavelski is an elite goal scorer in the NHL, and he should be mentioned in the same breath of the Ovechkins and Corey Perrys and Thomas Vonicks of the world?
I'm not going to go that far.
He has 37 goals, dude. He has three hat tricks, dude.
Would you say Brad Boyes is among the league leaders and is an elite scorer in
Brad
the
Boyce
NHL?
Brad Boyes did not, but now you're just being silly.
Brad Boyes scored 40 one year, dude.
Not this year. Live in the now, dude.
So we're just looking
Live
at the past
in the
300
now,
days.
Dude. Live in the now.
I'm just saying, dude.
So you're not prepared to put our boy, Joe Pavs, in that category, dude. I mean, he has just totally blown past, you know, 31 goals, which is his previous high, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to get to 40.
Very likely.
Right?
Very likely, yes. So he's going to have a 40-goal year. He'll have one other 30-goal year.
Does this erase any notion that he'll be centering the third line?
That's a tougher question.
Yes.
I think it does.
It does. Those days are gone.
You can't put a 37 or 40-goal score on a line with Tommy Wingles and Rafi Torres.
No.
I just don't know if you can do that.
You can't. I think that He's been way too successful playing.
It's sort of like putting Corey Perry on a line with like Patrick Maroon and Emerson Edom.
Right. Like,
that's your new line, Corey.
Yeah. You can't do that by choice, right?
No, you can't.
I think that and it'll be interesting to see with some of the injuries that have happened. The Sharks have kind of started to find their groove with these bottom six guys kind of filling it out a little bit. And now Torres has fallen off by the wayside again. Burrish is, missing a couple digits. He's out. And now Mike Brown back in the lineup.
Mike Brown.
You're looking in the cupboard and it's looking a little dusty again.
Yeah.
You've got no one sitting in there. The phone call for John McCarthy is right around the corner.
Oh, I think they'd release the Bracken.
That's not good news. If we're back, we're already stretching thin a little bit by riding the coattails of some guys who are playing better, like Martin Havlat.
Yeah, he is playing better. That's for sure.
He had a pretty nice goal last night, actually.
Well, it was a broken stick and everything else.
But where he put it, I mean, like, Scriven should have stopped that. But, he made a nice move to free himself.
No, I don't mean to sell him short. I think it was lucky.
Give a man who just had some sort of pelvic reconstruction, dude. This guy.
Yes.
You have no idea the pain he's in.
Daily. I don't have any idea.
Daily groin pain.
Are you sure?
I love that show, Groin Pain, with Kirk Cameron. You ever seen that one?
I did. Yeah, The Weavers. That was a great show.
Alan Thicke was great on Groin Pain.
Alan Thicke. Canadian Alan Thicke. Plays hockey. He always plays in the celebrity games.
Yes, he does.
Where were we?
I just was looking at this before I came over, the top. I just think maybe I've kind of taken it for granted.
Looking at this, gestures don't translate to radio.
Sorry, the stats, the league leaders, and not maybe realizing what great seasons some of our guys are having. You know, Pavelski tied for second in power play goals. Joe is an assist behind Sidney Crosby, you know?
Yeah.
Pavs or Marlowe, one of them's ninth in the NHL in points. Vlasic, fourth in plus minus, plus 32. Niemi has the most wins in the NHL.
Right.
I mean, we're all the bitching and moaning we've been doing for the last 2 months. It just makes me feel a little silly.
I know. We're not as bad off as, say, Andy C. from England, who roots for Leicester City, which we'll get to in a minute.
Andy.
Emailed, of course, the email address is questions@dudesonhockey.com. He says, it's been a while since I emailed, but there seem to be less questions that need asking when things are going well. Point taken, i.e., we need to stop our bitching. Rather than the new questions, here's some questions you've left hanging out there which could do with some closure in my mind. Number one, what is the situation with the Sharks and the Cap? Coming out of the break, Mike thought they were toast unless they did something clever, but I've not heard this topic raised since. So have they done something clever that has gone under the radar? Or is there something in the cap calculation that was wrong? Or are they still in danger of missing the cap and facing the consequences? Okay, so one thing they did is they retroactively put Brad Stewart on long-term IR, which means he's going to miss at least 10 games, and that gives cap relief. So that's why the Sharks were not in a terrible cap situation coming out of the Olympics, because we sort of thought Stewart was on regular IR, which means he still counts against the cap. Instead, they retroactively put him on LTIR, which gives them some cap relief, and he's only recently come back. So that provides the Sharks a little bit of breathing room here, and so now they can fit all these guys under the cap. I think that was the main thing that helped them.
Let me ask this, dude.
And they might still put Rafi Torres. They can retroactively put Rafi Torres in LTIR. And they may have already done that, although I don't think... I checked CapGeek today, and it's not marked on CapGeek.
Isn't that convenient, dude? We talked about this last week, but isn't that convenient? Brad Stewart gets a little break when the team's up against the cap. I have nothing to base this on other than the fact that it just sounds a little convenient.
Yeah, and that actually plays to a comment that we got on the blog from Kent. We do read the comments on the blog, by the way. He says, you guys really think this league would diligently crack down on a team like the Sharks leaving someone on LTIR to avoid cap implications? Seriously? Have you heard of Chris Pronger? Oh, man. I was, you know, actually, I read that and I was trying to come up with a counter argument in that Chris Pronger is legitimately still hurt, but that's no, that's not an argument. Of course. Yeah, you're, Kent is right. Kent is right. It doesn't appear like the NHL is exactly the bad cop in terms of cracking down on cap circumvention. Brad Stewart was at least arguably injured, therefore everything's cool. I think that's sort of the situation.
I think he's been playing with some injuries all season, but I don't know, dude. Like I think that there might have been some shenanigans going on there.
Let's just say creative accounting.
Sure.
Right?
Okay.
Slightly creative accounting. It's not like they asked him to fake an injury. It's just the injury suddenly became, at least in the eyes of the team's medical staff, more serious than previously thought. And while he was injured maybe before, he could technically play. And now we think it's best if you go on LTIR and happen to save us a few million bucks.
You imagine it's like Brad Stewart wakes up in bed and he sees Doug Wilson and Kathy Bates there, and he's like strapped to the bed, and they're like, "Have you ever heard of hobbling?"
And then they hit him in the hand with the hammer.
Oh, that was Adam Burrish.
Oh yeah. So anyway,
what's the next question?
Okay. What is the situation with Stalock in the new CBA? With Niemi back to the heavy workload, it seems the Sharks aren't interested in getting him the starts to get there. My view is Doug Wilson knows something we don't, namely he will sign a new contract with the Sharks anyway. Whether it's him owing the Sharks for supporting him through the injury or contract negotiations are at an advanced stage. The alternative to this view is that Niemi is penciled in as the starter for the next few years and any backup could fit in. So easy come, easy go. What do you think about that, dude?
I'd have to go back and read. When I had initially read that, I thought it was that Stalock had to get 14 starts for the whole year, yeah, not from that time period. So I don't know what the rule is. I would imagine that they know what they needed to do, and it seems like
we started last night, right?
Did start last night. And I don't think they're starting him to get around loopholes in his contract, but I certainly don't think they have any intention of letting him go.
No.
You know, I mean, he's you know, one of the top goalies in the NHL in save percentage. Granted, it's only in like 15 games or whatever, but still, I mean, this guy, if he was, he's played 21 games. I mean, that's
21 games, 933 save percentage.
And a 1.85 goals allowed. And this isn't fluky stuff, right? I mean, we've been watching him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's legitimately good.
Oh yeah.
My opinion is that Niemi in a year is going to have priced himself out of San Jose. And I think that the Sharks will not pay Niemi. If he continues to be a good goalie, leading the league in wins and playing strong, the Sharks they're not going to pay him $7 million to stay.
He's only making two and change right now, right?
Right. I mean, it's a steal. So yeah, he's making three something, I think, on that extension. But still, that's a steal. So I don't think the Sharks are going to pay that. Not when they have Stalock. Not when they really like Sateri. You know, I think Niemi is one more year, dude. And we're on our marching our way to a Stanley Cup. But I wouldn't be shocked if Niemi's not back next year. I wouldn't be shocked.
Right.
I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And Andy, I don't think good teams let good goalies just walk. That's not usually the sign of a good team. You see good teams sometimes do without great goalies, like the Wings have done for a long time or had tried to do. But I don't think you just let these guys walk. We saw the Kings get something pretty good for Jonathan Bernier, you know, who was a backup, was never the starter in his position. In LA was even more subservient than I think Stalock's is versus Niemi. But yeah, Niemi's only got 1 year left on his deal after this year. I think the chances of them just saying, we don't care about Stalock, are precisely zero. They're, as you've said, they're either negotiating with him now or they're so confident they're going to re-sign him, they don't really care about his RFA or UFA status because they're going to pay Stalock what it takes to keep him. And they do have negotiating rights. They can sign him prior to July 1st. If he doesn't hit the game's limit and would become a UFA, they can still sign him in late June. They could sign him before the draft. They could sign him whenever they wanted to. So I think Stalock will be in Teal next year for certain. And I think Niemi's job security will be decidedly more treacherous next season.
If you look at Stalock's starts where he has played the full 60 minutes or 60 minutes plus, the Sharks don't get housed when Stalock's in net. Mm-hmm. When they lose by a goal. I mean, they lose 2-1 or 3-2. There was one loss in Calgary that was 4-1, you know, but that's the worst one. I mean, there's only one game with a 2+ goal differential and losses. The rest are by a goal. So you see the team plays really damn well with him in net. And maybe that's because they're tightening it up because he's the backup.
Right.
Or maybe this team just plays really well with this goalie in there. I don't think there's a danger right now of Stalock supplanting Niemi on the cup run. But in the offseason, if the team's looking to clear some cap space, I don't know. I think there's a 10% chance that that happens. I don't think it's a zero.
I might take the over on that. I mean, especially if he plays a few games in the playoffs and plays really well.
He's not going to play in the playoffs.
At all?
No.
Is that really? You're calling that now?
Unless Niemi has a bad game and gets pulled. He's not going to play.
So you're saying Stalock will not start a playoff game?
Unless Niemi gets pulled. That's right. No, he doesn't start a playoff game.
He does not start a playoff game?
No.
Okay. Wow.
I'm not saying that's what I want.
Okay.
I'm saying I think that McClellan will get on the SS Nemo and it will be that.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you start playing that kind of game, if you get in that situation, then you have a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, I just care about winning. I don't care.
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, I want to win the cup, and I think if it's Stalock or Niemi or whoever it is, then I don't care. But if you pull Nemo and Stalock plays well, and then Nemo's just sitting there watching the team trot all the way through the playoffs, you've lost that guy. You've lost him. Yeah. Nidamaki disease. Anyways, we're getting way out in front of ourselves.
Yeah, we are.
I love rampant speculation.
But Andy also is a Leicester City fan and has been such ever since he started emailing the podcast. And it appears that Leicester City will be promoted to the Premiership next year, dude. So,
all right. Well, I'll tell you what. If Leicester City finishes ahead of the Spurs next year in the Premiership, I will burn my Spurs jersey and I will buy a Leicester City one. How about that?
That sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
I just hope they can beat out Crystal Palace next year. Crystal Palace may not be relegated, dude.
I hope not. I just love the name Crystal Palace.
Did you see the Southampton game, dude?
No, dude.
Dude, it's good. It's good. They came back. They were down 2-0 and won. It's good. It's good. Good game. Go Spurs. All right. Let's see.
Any other questions?
Yeah, we got an angry Flyers fan. This season, the dudes were hating on the Flyers. You guys laughed at me when I said they were going to be good. Now they're kicking ass. I'm glad.
Good. I'm glad, too. I have the Flyers in the Vegas pool. So
they just started so badly that I just didn't think they could pull it out. And they fired their coach like 3 games in.
I thought
they were in so much trouble. I never thought the Flyers were a bad team on paper, although I did always think that they're... goaltending situation was kind of bad and defense, they have some bright spots, but maybe not strong compared to the best in the league, but they found a way to make Steve Mason work. Go figure.
Yeah. Right? If you are a Flyers fan, you better pray to sweet God that you do not fall out of that third spot in the Metropolitan. Cause if you do, and you have to go to Boston, it's night. So your best shot is that, hope that you finish ahead of the Rangers and that the Rangers have to come to Philly for the start that series. And if it does, Mike will be crying real tears.
I will.
Real tears. Because
Rangers are mine.
Happens.
Rangers are mine.
You know what? That would be, I want that to happen so badly because I will be so, so in your face that whole series. I will be the Wayne Simmons.
And then
of our Vegas bet.
And then Pittsburgh's going to have to face Detroit.
That's terrible too.
And then Pittsburgh's going to lose, and then my top two teams are going to be out. I can see this coming a mile away. I see this coming.
Oh man.
And then Montreal is going to lose to Tampa. I don't know how they are, but they will. Anyway, because I have Montreal, don't I?
I have Montreal.
You have Montreal?
I do.
Oh, damn it. God, I thought I had them.
Dude, you're in great shape. You have Pittsburgh. They're filled with injuries.
I have Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
St. Louis is, that's...
They're
playing really damn well, dude. I mean,
although they lose the Flyers bad and they lost to Chicago bad. Both of those games did not make me feel good.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't be worried. I'm not rooting for St. Louis. I mean, who cares?
I want them to lose. We're rooting for the Sharks. But
we're rooting for the Sharks. But you know, you got to keep your second eye on what's going on in terms of
your second eye.
Yeah, I have like one eye on the Sharks and one eye on the other team.
That's a visual eye. I can cross my eyes again.
Anyway,
all right, dude. Well, Winnipeg and then Colorado this weekend. And you know, going to Colorado is going to be no easy shake. They are chasing the Blackhawks and are very focused on having a good playoff run. And I don't think they're satisfied with just getting back to the playoffs. So seeing them twice in the next week is not going to be easy. And then a home game against Edmonton and then the LA Kings come to town. So I'm not sure when we're recording again, but we definitely will have a couple of these games under our belt. And let's just hope that the guys can just keep focused on take care of your own business. And, you know, if the Ducks win out, then they pass you and you're at least are going in on a positive. But if they slide into the playoffs, which we've seen them do before, I believe sitting in Vegas at the ESPN zone, watching them lose to the Kings in the last game of the year and just feeling like garbage. I remember that.
Yep.
Now, I certainly don't want a repeat of something like that, but if you look on the 12th, I mean, how interesting could that be with the Sharks playing in Phoenix the last game of the year with the possibility of getting the President's Trophy and maybe playing Phoenix in the first round? I mean, that could be a really dramatic game that day.
Mm-hmm.
Those last three games could be a lot of fun, actually. Ducks, Avs, Coyotes.
Yep, and the fact of the matter is although the Ducks do have three games in hand, On the minus side, that means they have to play three more games than the Sharks in the same amount of time.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I hadn't thought about it like that. You know, the Sharks do get a little bit more rest. They certainly need it with Couture's foot, and I'm in Burrish just being a non-factor right now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure how fast you can come back from something like that. I'm not really broken finger, broken hand.
Banking
on him being available, and let's just hope we don't need him. I mean, you just hope that the guys who are able to fill in, if it's Rafi Torres who can come in and take his place, and if James Shepherd can continue to play like he has been, which has been very productive,
very, very well,
then you know we won't have to watch Mike Brown in the first round, and that's not going to happen anyways. I mean, we know what the Sharks do. They're not going to play Mike Brown in the playoffs. It's not going to happen.
Right.
He's not going to play.
I know.
They'll play Bracken Kearns over Mike Brown. They will.
You're probably right. Yeah, you're right.
McClellan hates those guys in the playoffs. He freaking hates them. Remember, we're like begging for Brad Winchester in the playoffs.
I know, and he wouldn't play him.
He wouldn't play him.
Right.
Jamal Mayers, nothing.
Yeah, Jamal Mayers played like 2.5 minutes.
He did. They would just
play like one
there.
Shift per period. Anyway, All right, dude. We got to keep in mind the Sharks are still only 2 points behind the President's Trophy leader at the moment.
Yeah.
So even though they may be giving up some points, they're still in amazingly good shape.
They are, dude. And if you looked at your NHL Future Watch hockey news article, Mirko Mueller, 17th rated prospect in the entire NHL. It's got to make you feel good. Sharks are usually the butthole of that article. They're usually 30th. I think they were up to
28.
I think they were like 21st or something now.
Wow.
So
okay, I gotta check that out then.
Well, I think they finally gave them, and I don't remember what the stat is, but there was a good quote in there that said, you know, the Sharks have produced, I don't know, second most NHL draft picks that are playing in the NHL of any of the franchises in the league. So yeah, I mean, yeah, the Sharks don't have a lot of prospects laying around because they're all playing on the team.
Right. They're all on the show.
they're on the team helping them actively win now, not playing in Worcester, which obviously no one cares about.
Unfortunately true.
I did question the credibility of the article when I noticed Nick Petrecki was ranked sixth. I'm not making a joke.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's true. Yeah, he's not on anybody's list.
They did, and just before we go, I mean, they did make a couple of interesting comments. There are a couple forwards that maybe we should be keeping our eye on through the junior playoff. Gabriel something, dude. I've got a Gabriel Boudreaux.
Okay.
He's playing in the QMJHL playoffs. And then you've got Chris Tierney, who's been a really productive player and a guy that I think the Sharks are really high on. We probably should keep an eye on them. And also Justin Sefton might be a player who plays for Saginaw to keep an eye on, a really big kid with a lot of penalty minutes and some scoring potential. So if you're looking to keep track of some of these prospects, those might be some guys to watch. And if you're looking for some good news on Taylor Doherty, I mean, they seem to think that Taylor Doherty, who we saw this year, is making the necessary steps to become an NHL player. So they don't seem to feel at Hockey News that Doherty is that far away from maybe playing in the NHL, whether it's for us or someone else, but it doesn't seem like he's going to fall into Petrecki disease, but we'll see.
We'll see, dude.
All right, dude.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.